and all. All righty, if you're physically able, stand with me in honor of God's word. And we will read beginning in verse 24 through the end of the chapter. God's word says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, use your word in our hearts and lives to make us Christ-like. Help us to be submissive to you and to what you have for us. Help us to respond as we should. Lord, help us to be moldable into your image. Lord, help us to love you more and help us to love the world that we come around as you would have us to. God, bless our time here. Use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And be seated, please. Now, we were in 1 Corinthians 3 this morning, and we were dealing with carnality, and it started with divisions and things. And the people in the church there were divided into major factions. By the way, this is free. Brother Nathaniel put a battery in this thing, okay? But right now it's 12:22, so I've got 6 hours before church starts, all righty, and stuff here. So anyway, and Adam was playing with it also, and these guys, they are nervous. All right, that's good for them. All right. Anyway, now, the church had taken a light view of sin. You know, in our kind of churches, in our Bible-believing fundamental churches in America, sometimes this same idea creeps in. And we get to the point that where we become very Pharisaical, and we look at people and we judge them by our standard oftentimes instead of God's standard. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Okay? And my favorite sin is the sin that I don't commit very often, but I see somebody else commit. And then I could say, I'm not like that. You see him? You see him? I don't do that. But the church as a whole had taken a light view of sin. And we don't need to look at people like we're walking around with a holy baseball bat looking to smack them for something. We need to love one another and bring one another along, but that doesn't mean that we overlook sin. Amen? Yeah. We're serious about this. By the way, when people sin, if you believe the Bible, the goal is restoration, not execution. Somebody wrote a book and said that fundamentalists are the only group known that likes to shoot their own wounded. And the sad thing is, that's fairly accurate. Restoration is the goal. Not put down, not scorn, not hatred. Do you understand? You with me? Okay? Because one day it might be in your family. And it's different when it's in your family. You understand? When it's your friends, when it's your kids, it's different. Okay? Now, with what I've said, the church had taken a light view. There was open immorality in the church. That should never happen. Never happen. People took advantage of each other. There was division. The list could go on. The city of Corinth was an extremely wicked city. The United States of America is an extremely wicked area, is it not? We see things going on that when I was a young person in high school, we didn't even talk about in public school. Okay, you understand? And it's Main Street today. It's being promoted by politicians. Say, well, I'm not of that political group. Yeah, like the other one's good. Okay? Are you with me? All righty. And yet, in those instances, some of the greatest churches the world has ever seen have been started and have done a tremendous job. You know, the problem is when the society begins to infiltrate the church. And God's plan is for the church to infiltrate society. I was asked at a church, in fact, it was last week, we were in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan presenting our work, and a person asked me the question. They said, in China, how do they deal with worldliness in the church? And I was taken back by that. And for a second, I was speechless. I know you all find that hard to believe that I was speechless. But for a second, I was. And then now they have problems they have to deal with because of morality issues and their what society has taught a family and all of that. But for the most part, it's not worldliness like we see it in America coming into the church. For the most part. Because over there, there's no hangers-on. You're either in or you're out. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? You're either committed or you're not. So it's a little bit different. But in America, we've created, when I say we, that's the proverbial we, that doesn't mean Bible Baptist Church here in West Bend, but there's so many churches that will accommodate all kinds of corruption. And it's wrong. Okay? Now, we don't need to go out of our way to try to find people and organizations and churches that we need to split with. That doesn't mean that we need to condone wrong. Okay? Don't go out here and say, Kimmel's making excuses. Kimmel's not. All righty? If you knew what I've had to deal with. If they made a TV show about what the average fundamental Baptist preacher deals with, people wouldn't believe it. And if I told you, many of you would say, that's not appropriate to talk about here, and it's not, which is why I won't go through it. But it's a great opportunity for churches right now. This morning, I shared some things that I've seen that bother me and irritate me in society. And another one that irritates me, I couldn't get them all unloaded this morning, amen? All right? Is we go around and we hear people saying all the time, or not all the time, but people say, you know, it's so bad in America, the rapture's got to be right around the corner. And when my blood pressure recedes, I say, why don't you go to China and tell your Christian brothers and sisters in China how bad you have it here in America? Go to Northeast India, communist Laos, Vietnam, Pakistan, Afghanistan, all those other stands over there. Why don't you go to the Muslim countries, Africa, Cuba, Venezuela, and tell them just how bad you have it here in America? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we need to change our standard of living. We need to appreciate our standard of living. And we need to thank God for what we have. Amen? Okay? Now, as I mentioned this morning, Paul wrote at least 4 letters to the Corinthian church. God preserved 2 in Scripture. There were so many things that Paul had to deal with. And the church, he could not always be there physically, but he was always trying to help them and bring them along. He wasn't trying to condemn them. There were a couple times he asked, he said, do you want me to come with a rod or in a spirit of love, you know? And all of us need to walk a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Regardless of what others do, all of us need to be growing in grace. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved. It doesn't matter how much Bible we think we know. Chapter 8 is dealing with Christian liberty. And Paul tried to explain that Christian liberty is not a license to live as we choose and to make ourselves a standard. So many churches have taught that concept in America that, you know, you've got liberty, you're saved, you're not under the law, and you hear that all the time. And I understand that's true, but it's not licensed to do what we want. Our liberty is for the purpose of influencing other people for Christ. That's what it is. You know, when we go to India, by the time we get out of India, you know the first thing I want to eat is a piece of cow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just want one. While I'm over there, sacred object. Over here, tastes pretty good. Amen? All righty. June and I, we were in the airport in Mumbai. And we love a lot of the international food. We love the Chinese food, the Mexican food. When we're in India, we think about how much we love the Chinese and the Mexican food. Amen? And we're there at the food court, and it's Indian food everywhere. And if you like it, that's good. And I'm not condemning you. And we saw Burger King. I said, this is great. It's just going to have chicken. But I've had one of those breaded, fried, grilled chicken sandwiches from Burger King. And I told June, I said, they're pretty good. There's a lot of meat in there and all of that. And so we each ordered one. I bit into that thing. And I pulled a quarter out of my pocket. And the thickness of my quarter was thicker than the chicken inside the breading. And we kind of laughed on that. And hers was the same, by the way. And all. And from there, we were leaving India. And we got some more American food. Amen. After we left there and all. Now, our liberty is to not go around telling people what we can do. Our liberty is for the purpose of serving the Lord. Now, Paul was trying to get this church to understand that. But now, in our text, as we look at this, our life is compared to a race and to a boxing match. You all know me some. You don't know me a lot. You know that I have a little body and a big mouth, but I have a big competitive spirit. I do not understand a man that does not like a challenge. Now, you may be too old for those challenges, as some of us are getting, but I love a challenge. When I was younger, the best way to get me to do something was to tell me I couldn't do it. And now I just pretty well accept it and say, yeah. I never lied to my children and told them it doesn't matter if you win or lose, it's how you play the game that counts. Did you hear that? I told them it does matter if you win or lose, and it does matter how you play the game. Amen? Amen? Amen. You know what I don't understand? Is we teach our kids to do their best in school. We don't let them slough off in their studies, or we shouldn't. Am I right? We don't, in fine arts, we make them do okay. When it comes to athletics, we just say, be a loser. Tell me that makes sense. It doesn't at all. I could sit here and tell you story after story, and I shared many stories this morning, so I'll be good. All righty? Now, in our text, the comparisons here are something that was real for the society. And it'd also be real for our society today. In Greece at that time, there was a regular set of athletic games called the Isthmian Games. Our modern Olympics have their roots in those games. They were born out of those. And Paul uses this example of the athletic games to show some principles in our Christian life. Point number one, the rules. The rules. The law of training for these games, to be an athlete. There was preparation. It was personal. The athletes were isolated for 30 days. And the training was severe. It was designed to optimize power and skill. And it was designed for each participant. You know, I wonder why in the world we look at someone that does something and works so hard, whether it's in the arts or the athletics or something, and we honor them for the sacrifices that they've made. And yet, when it comes to Christianity, we're not willing to put in for God what some people are willing to put in for athletic achievement or the arts achievement. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? I mean, people will do things to win a medal that are incredible. But yet when it comes to changing your life or putting in some exercise for spiritual things, we don't want to be fanatical. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, it doesn't make sense to me. Paul is trying to use this example to teach the people. Now, the preparation. Now, in spiritual things, God deals with us as individuals. God has a specific plan for each of us. Our son is an assistant pastor. And he was telling, now, our son grew up in our house. Now, is that a shock? Okay, you understand this? We've been in ministry our entire adult life. He said to June this past week, he said, I never knew it took this much time. He said, I haven't had a Sunday off since I started. I'm just kind of grinning. And he's not in the big boy seat yet. He's still in the one under it. You know what I'm saying? And stuff. He's still got some learning to do in there. Hey, it requires effort. If I were going to go out and play soccer tomorrow, it would be a call to pray for me. I'm in the hospital. But, you know, and I played soccer in high school. I played soccer in college and stuff. And I just haven't stretched. I haven't run wind sprints in decades. And it's been a blessing that I have not. You understand? You've got to be prepared to do things. And spiritually, God has a plan for us. And God puts us through tests that are specific for us. I was telling a close friend of mine that when our son was growing up, he called this guy uncle and things, and I told him, and we were laughing, you know, and so forth. And God puts people through tests. He puts preachers through tests. He puts laymen through tests to see if they're in or out. And those tests are not designed to kill us. They're designed to help us. And we have to determine, are we going to do it or not? Is it just something that we just kind of go along when the times are good? Or are we in this for real? I mentioned this morning, the verse. But God says, they that live righteously in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. Is that what that says? Will suffer persecution. Now, in the United States, up to this point, you know, primarily you might be laughed at. Your family might disown you. And I'm not, you know, that's not good, okay? And you know, I have talk to people from different ethnic backgrounds that have been disowned in our states and in our country. And that's tragic. But are we willing to do what's necessary to run the race that God has set before us? To box, you know, the boxing match, you know, it's barbaric. You know what I mean? But until they outlaw it, I'm going to watch it. There's a woman in this church auditorium that used to love to watch it. In fact, my shoulder got beat on during boxing matches and stuff. I don't want to point my wife out, but most of you probably figured that's who I was making reference of. I shadow boxed last year. You know these Oculus things that you put on your heads, the virtual reality thing? And it had a boxing thing in there. In fact, June videoed it, and if any of you want to see my great form, you'll see. I was wailing on this guy. Boom, boom. At the end of the first match, I was dying. The first round, not match. First round. I took that thing off and said, I'm out. I was sweating. I was panting. I wasn't ready for this. And I know how much that thing cost, and the next time we get some spare money, I'm going to get one to take with us on the road. I'd do that for exercise. It takes up a much smaller space than my elliptical machine. And you see me putting my elliptical machine in our Fusion. Anyway, but there's a price to be paid to run the Christian life. You say, I didn't sign up for this. The Lord drafted you, don't worry. All right? And this is what God expects of his children. Amen? And there's a price to be paid. There's effort to be put into it. And the plan, not everybody follows their plan. Some people quit. Some people won't start when they look at it. But you look through the Bible at some of the people, what they went through. Here Joseph was, just being obedient to his father. He got sold by his brothers, sent to Egypt, sold into slavery, got put in prison for being moral, but yet God had a plan for him. Look what happened to Daniel. Here Daniel was praying. He had lived a good life. He's in his 80s. And the crybabies, the tattletales, are trying to get him in trouble. So they devise a plan, and they get the king to go along with it, not understanding that Daniel was who they were after. And the Bible says when he knew that the decree was signed, he prayed as he did aforetime. He got to spend the night in a lion's den. We read this and we say, hey, look at there. He came out of that alive. Hey, did Daniel know that going in? Did he? How about those guys in the fiery furnace? They said, whether our God deliver us or not, we will not bow. Man, oh man. God has a path for that. And these guys didn't know what was going to happen. But you know what's a wonderful thing about serving the Lord? Is you see God work and you have stories. And they're incredible. Can you imagine Thanksgiving and Christmas? Uncle Daniel, tell us the story about the lion's den again. Hey, Uncle Shadrach, what was it like in the furnace? You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to read about the furnace. It's another thing to be the guy that's in there. You say, well, those kind of things won't happen today. They probably won't, but God has something. The question is, does God have people that are willing to stand like those people did? Are they willing, are we willing to trust the Lord no matter what happens? Whether it's good, whether it's bad. Now, the law of training, the law of temperance. Look at verse 25. And I'm looking at it here. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. The word temperance means self-resistant. It means control. It means control. How controlled are we? I mean, think, how controlled are we? Be honest. I'm kind of controlled. I only hit the snooze button 4 times in the morning. I mean, are we really under control? Are we under God's control? We get up in the morning, we're more excited about seeing who liked what we posted or about what God has for us in his word. What is important to us? Now, how does this come out in our life, okay? We need to avoid things that rob us of spiritual things, okay? I love watching football. There's just something about seeing grown men trying to tear each other apart. I love it, all right? You remember what Dick Butkus said? Now, you'd have to be in the mature generation for this. When they asked him what his goal was, any of you read this or whatever? He said, to see a human body explode when I hit it. I thought, man, that's great. All right. I love pro football. I love watching it. There's three games on Sunday, one on Monday, one on Thursday. Five football games. To be honest, if I had my way, there'd be one on every night of the week. Okay? And the Lord convicted me about the time that I was spending watching football. We had a program where we could record them and stuff and all. And even with that, it's still an hour and a half a game. I have no idea. People say, "What did you like the Super Bowl commercial?" I don't know. I never see them. all that stuff. And the Lord convicted me of taking that much time to just watch football because I don't have that much time. You understand? I've had a lot of time to watch TV the last 5 weeks, but that's not normal. I mean, we need to get rid of things that stop us from doing what we should, even if they're not bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't gamble on football games. I don't cry and scream. And you know, when the Packers lost a few years ago in the game before the Super Bowl, you hear about the guy in Milwaukee that threw his sofa out in the middle of the street and set it on fire. He was so upset. He showed them, didn't he? I don't do that. I don't kick June. I don't cuss. None of that. It's just a football game. You know what I'm saying? But I love watching it. I love watching competition. You know? But this is free. I won't watch baseball anymore until they apologize. Nor do I watch basketball until they break with the Communist Party of China. That's free. That's just me. All righty. Now, we have to develop Christian virtues. Keep your finger here. Turn to 2 Peter 1. Turn to 2 Peter 1, okay? And we're not going to go through all of these. That's not in the sermon, and this clock works tonight. So, anyway, all righty. We need to add to our faith. When we were saved, we got all that we needed for godliness. Verse 3 tells us that. But verse 5, if you skip down there, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence. That word diligence is the same word translated study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, that verse in Timothy, okay? Giving all diligence, that's effort, okay? We teach our kids, you be diligent in your responsibilities, do we not? Okay, do we not? God says, be diligent. And then there's a list of things he says to add to your faith. These are building blocks. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is doing what's right all the time. Add to your virtue knowledge. That's academic knowledge. It's talking about the Word of God. And by the way, I have found after reading the Bible for years, there's always something new God brings to mind. Do you know a verse I saw like a year ago, and it haunts me. Proverbs 13:10, only, and I hate that word, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, everybody in here would know that pride plays a part in that. But God says that's the only source. You understand what I mean? There's things that come out. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and we've seen that word, to temperance patience, that's bearing up under a load, to patience godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's loving our brother as we should, and to brotherly kindness, godly love, charity. Okay? Add that to your faith. Every one of us has to be developing those building blocks in our life. It doesn't come by accident. It comes by diligence. It comes by effort. And then, also in 2 Peter 3, turn there, look at the very last verse there. That Peter ends this epistle under the inspiration of God. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. That doesn't mean, you know, when you've done it for a while, you're okay. It's an ongoing thing. You understand what I mean? It's something that we need to be doing all the time. Number one, the rules. Number two, the race. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Okay, it needs to be in earnest. That's that idea of diligence again. Must work at the Christian life. Paul says, I'm not just a shadow boxer. I'm not half-hearted. I'm not in this playing at it. I'm in this for real. Okay? He says, you run on purpose. My favorite verse in the book of Ecclesiastes is chapter 7, verse 8. Don't turn there. But the first half of the verse is, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, I could still get down in a sprinter stance. I might need a chiropractor to get up, but I could get down there. And if I was in that position and somebody hit the starter's gun, I could do it for the first step or two. But by the end of that 100-yard dash, I would need to stop and have a tee and some chips about the 50-yard line. You understand what I'm saying? All right? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Our daughter and son-in-law that are in Salt Lake City, he was the youth guy for Oak Ridge Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. That is the nuclear city of our country, in case you didn't know that, they were there. And literally, half of the guys in the church were nuclear rocket scientists. And if they were talking and you walked up to them and they shut up, they were talking shop. You know what I mean? Literally, that's how it was. But there's a river in Oak Ridge that is straight, the Cinch River, for almost 2 miles. And that's where the NCAA has their rowing competition. We did not plan this, but we went up to visit. My parents were in, and our son, had he was not gone yet, and so forth. And we went up, and it happened to be the finals of the NCAA rowing competition. And we got to see those little boats, the sculls. We saw two-man. We saw, 12-man, 11-man, something like that, whatever it is. We saw them. And it was really interesting to watch. Where do you think we got? At the starter's gate or at the finish line? I mean, that's a no-brainer, all right? 1,700 meters. We were there. You could see those guys just getting it for everything. And by the time they're getting to the end of the process, you could just sweat just running off of them. I mean, and every time they would hit it, that boat would, I mean, you could ski behind that thing. I mean, it was getting it. They'd cross that finish line. These guys, and we had jackets on. They would just roll out of those things into the water. You see steam come off of them. I mean, UCLA was there, Virginia Tech, Florida, from all over the country, they were there doing this. And every time I think of better is the end of a thing, I think of those races we got to see that day. Because the end is where it was. We understand that. One day, our race is going to be over. We have no idea when that is. None of us have a guarantee on tomorrow. We don't know. Not all that start the Christian race will finish well. Not all that start will finish. Not all will start. Do you know, if we read the Bible about people in there, Enoch walked with God after he became a father. At that point in time is when he started. Go back in Genesis and check it out. My point is, it's never too late to start. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity doesn't need Secret Service agents. You know what I'm saying? Everybody needs to be involved. That's God's plan. The progress. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Here was Paul's pursuit. Can you imagine working with the Apostle Paul? You say it would have been fun. Yeah, if you don't like sleep and the only way you know is straight ahead regardless of what's happening. I mean, Paul got after it, did he not? And he didn't back down, didn't care. He did the job. Philippians 3, look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying here, there's a goal, and that's what I'm after. There is a goal that we are to strive for, and that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be a part of. You know what our problem is in American churches? Is that we don't think right. And how we think affects how we act. You understand? Does that make sense? Okay. How I think will affect how I act. Some of the times, hopefully most of the times. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Here's what we're supposed to think about. Finally, brethren, Paul's writing under the inspiration of God, and there's a list of things to think about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what happens in a lot of churches in America? Is people go home and they're offended because somebody didn't shake their hand. Somebody didn't talk to them. They must not think I'm important. That preacher, he knew that I did that and he mentioned that in his sermon. I could tell you stories you'd think I was lying. People split the church, leave the church, create problems because they think wrong. Do you know, getting ready for church today, yesterday, my wife said something, and she named Karen. We ate lunch with the Sluters today, and I went and grabbed what I thought she wanted. And she was talking about Karen that lives in a different state in a different time zone. You understand? She said, why'd you bring this out? I said, you said Karen. We won't see them till June. I said, oh. And she was talking about Karen Schluter. And Karen knows what she got. All right. And you're jealous because you didn't get it, right? All right. Anyway. All right. Sometimes we get mad because we don't understand the circumstances. Isn't it just a little bit smart to try to get all of the information before you start making big life-changing decisions? Amen? All righty. We tell our kids to do that, don't we? In fact, we tell our kids not to be immature. But they see adults do it all the time. Amen? Don't sit there and get quiet on me. All right? The Christian life is something that we need to be busy at all the time. All the time. It's something that needs to consume us. We need to keep our body under control. Let's go back, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body. He says, I keep it under control. I bring it into subjection. Do you know why there's very seldom any ice cream in our house? Because June can't eat it because it's dairy. And I love it. Who doesn't like ice cream? You've got to be mentally deficient to not like ice cream. Am I right? Okay. But who's going to control who? You understand? When they found out last year I had acid reflux, and I have a back disease, worst thing for me is putting on extra weight. If I ate like I wanted to, I wouldn't fit through the middle doors there. I have to make myself. Boom. You with me? Get that body under control. For some of you, that's going to mean tomorrow you may need to get up a little earlier so you can spend time with God. Amen? Amen. You say, yeah, but my bed's comfortable. Go to bed earlier. Well, I'll miss my favorite TV show. Now, that's important. Amen? Amen. Say, so you act like you don't like television. I've got one. All righty. It doesn't get used about 6 months out of the year. That's because we're not home. All right. Hey, get things under control. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. When I was younger, I wondered why sin wasn't first. I don't now. Because I truly believe, and if I'm in, you know, delusion, don't wake me up, that most Christians really don't want to live a life dominated by sin. But we have weights that keep us from doing what's right. You know, when I pastored there in Plymouth at Faith, you know, I had calls to do all kinds of things. Work with, you know, you're a pastor, you've got a position, blah, 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 in the community and all this. Why don't you raise money, help us and be a center where we can send things out to raise money for curing cancer. Is curing cancer a good thing? Yeah. Amen. I'm for it. I got one for heart disease. I think I got one for diabetes and all this. All of these things are great. And if you're involved, you know, they came to me one day and asked me to be in the school board. And they asked me what I believed about morality. And when I finished, they said that they'll call me for the next meeting. That was in 2009, and they haven't called me yet. All righty? And I'm in favor of influencing society. But you got to remember what's the important things. Are you more excited about your hobbies than God? Well, I need something to get to refresh my mind. Like spending time with God wouldn't do that? Amen. That's where we're not thinking right. Amen. We need to make sure that God is God in our life. Do you know, our country's a mess, and it bothers me. You know why it bothers me? It's because I have 8 grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? I grew up that when you got in trouble, the neighbors could punish you and then call your parents and you got it again. All right? All right, that really happened. Okay? But the Bible says the problem is not the pornographers. It's not Hollywood. It's not the politicians. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, where God says, if my people, which are called by my name, and then there's a list of stuff to do. And then God says, if we do that, he'll heal our land. That would make me think that we're not doing so hot on our end. Because I really don't think the problem's on God's end. Do you? We need to get in the race. We need to get ready. We need to get set. And we need to go. We need to be willing to do whatever God asks. God has put us where we are to be a light to the people that we come in contact with. Whether we're working in a factory, an office, a business, wherever it is, that's what God has for us. And he expects some things out of us. And we need to do our part in a serious fashion. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your challenge from your word for us. Lord, help us to be willing to do what you ask. No reservations, nothing holding us back from what you have. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be bold. Give us grace. Give us strength to do what we should. Lord, I pray that in the stillness of the moment, the Spirit of God could do the work that only he can do in our lives, to show us areas that we need to correct and that give us a vision of a goal for us to chase after.